tucked away in the valley of Los Angeles, 42 miles northwest of Disneyland, sits a tiki bar with a 78-drink challenge called the Grog Law. Drink all 78 drinks within 1 year, and you get a plaque with your name on the wall. Let's join two thirsty friends for a little my time as they embark on a drunken journey through the log and talk about dumb shit like theme parks, drinking, and drinking at theme parks.
Welcome to My Time. I'm your host, Dave, and I'm sitting, as always, with my best friend and partner in grog logging, Corey.
Hello, hello.
Normally, we record these intros
at your house.
At my house, in your car.
In my car, randomly.
Outside Tonga Hut before we go in. But today, we're in one of our favorite spots of all time. We're in Trader Sam's. We're down here on a little staycation.
We're always working, folks. We're always working.
We're putting in work. We're here on a future episode that's coming out soon.
Maybe my biggest meltdown ever.
Spoiler, she's halfway through a zombie.
No, not even a fifth way through the zombie, and I'm having problems.
I love it.
I'm having problems. That was my Christopher Walken impression. Oh, God.
That's where we are right now. Trader Sam's will get you guys, but you'll hear that in a couple weeks. Today, we're getting a little education. We're getting taken to school. We decided that we don't know enough about rum.
So we called nothing in, about rum.
Yeah, we know nothing about rum. We're going to call in an expert. So today's episode at the Tonga Hut is with our new best friend, the rum champion.
He was so awesome.
We take down a drink on the grog log, and then we do a rum tasting. We sip some rums for the first time.
Sipping some rums.
Sips.
Uh-oh.
These drinks are getting me. We're going to take this over now to the Tonga Hut.
With the rum champion.
For the rum champion.
Enjoy.
We are back at the Tonga Hut. I'm joined, as always, by Corey.
Hello, hello.
But joining us in the booth today is the rum champion, Brian Inman.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming
hanging out and drinking a good old tiki drink at Tonga Hut.
When I told my wife we were having you on, and I was like, oh, he's the rum champion. And she was like, I'm sorry, what? And I like sent her your like IG profile, and she was like, oh, he's the rum champion. I was like, yes, he is.
You know, what's funny about all of that is in the early days, I would always get, you know, people being like, well, I just think you like calling yourself the champion. I picked the name because of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's to me that very scene where Prince Oberyn's talking to Tyrion in the jail cell and no one wants to fight the mountain.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's really dramatic. He grabs the torch and he goes, I will be your champion. And I was like, hell to the yeah.
I want to go on record and say, I love the name.
It's
Thank
fun.
You.
I love it.
You're the champion of rum. You've won rum. And you are also in rum's corner.
Yep.
That's very true.
And we have a lot of rum questions coming up.
Yeah, that's the thing. We wanted to do this because we don't know shit about rum.
We know a little.
We know it. We know we like it.
Yeah.
But we don't know much about it. We don't know the names of glassware. We don't know what we're tasting.
Sure.
We're trying. We're in a tall guy cup right now. We're in a shorty.
I mean, I love tall guy cups and shorties.
Yeah, that's what we got.
We wanted to get you in, and we wanted to learn a little bit about rum to help us on our journey.
Sure.
What I would love out of this journey with you, we have to grog log because we're here. We got a grog log. We got to put in that work.
We got to chip. Grind.
It's a grind. You've done the grog log.
I have.
He said he had PTSD about it. So.
We've had guests to come on and they say, this is easy.
Uh-huh.
Can you speak to the ease or lack thereof of this grog log?
I've talked a lot about this with a lot of different people. The grog log on a grading scale, I'd give it maybe like a C+.
Sure.
But I think the thing is, like, even Beach Bum has come out after the fact saying, yeah, I was kind of guessing on some of these recipes. I'm like, oh, you fucking think you were guessing? Oh. Have you tasted the Beachcomber's Gold?
It's like the balance
and
of
so
some of them.
There's some of them are
off.
Just way yeah. off. But what I'd say is I'm glad I did it. There are a lot of really good drinks, but for anybody that is contemplating doing it, if you're going to do it, my advice is get all the bad ones out of the way.
Ooh, up top.
Like the Cruzana is pretty bad.
We had the Cruzana.
Yeah.
Straight up Robitussin.
I think that was it because, I described it as liquid Mucinex.
Yeah.
Just cough syrup with just.
Brought to you by the Cruzan Rum Company and fucking Robitussin.
Yeah,
I know.
It was brutal.
One thing that I would propose is whether we do this on the podcast or not, I have 540 bottles of rum at my house.
Oh, that's.
And I need help drinking it. Because I keep getting more sent to me for
540 bottles.
Yeah. And from all over the world.
Cool, though.
Netherlands, Vietnam, Cambodia, Fiji, Australia. They actually have a rum distillery in Israel, and I have a bottle of Jewish rum at my house.
You have to try that.
I'm going to rate it already for you, and I'm going to go ahead and rate that a 4.2 on the scale of 10.
It's definitely a place to start with rum. It's pretty light.
You're like, it kind of tastes like olives and falafel.
No, not that one, but there are a number of rums out there that do taste like green olives. It's very weird.
That's shocking that one doesn't.
No, that one's, it's molasses, and it's actually like a place where a lot of people could start sipping rum and go, oh, okay, this is light. Nice, wow. Yeah. This is nice.
Okay.
Do you think rum is like the most popular spirit worldwide?
No.
Well, that's why he's the rum champion.
I think it's the world's most goddamn diverse spirit, and no one gives it its damn respect.
It is weird.
Why do you think that is, though?
I think it's, so in the U.S. particularly, there's a lot of preconceived notions. When you think rum in the United States, the average person kind of goes back to the, have you got a little captain in you?
Yeah.
And the reason for that, or it's Malibu, right? My first rum ever was Parrot Bay coconut rum.
Sure.
Me too, sure.
Yeah.
I had a
and I was like, oh, well, I know.
Bedroom.
Yep. I wanted like a glass one that wasn't like too expensive. So when I sent somebody into the store,
it tastes like suntan lotion.
Oh, 100%. There's rums that taste like bubblegum and sawdust. There's rums that taste like whiskey. There's rums that taste very akin to what you would expect an agave to taste like.
Sure.
And so no matter, like, there's others that start like really bright, like bright ripe fruits. Then they go rotten in your mouth, and then baking spices kick in. So it's
weird.
A whole wide world. So that's why, like,
I think that's
there's
what
so much.
From what the limited info I know about rum, that I would say is the vast taste palette of rum is not dissimilar to whiskey and bourbon.
Sure.
How there's such a wide variety, and there's very good rums, just like there are very good whiskey and bourbons. But for whatever reason, I feel like a lot of times people think, like we were saying, rum is Parrot Bay or rum is Captain Morgan or 100%. Whatever.
It's kind of
people
like
don't understand that there's varying levels. Yeah,
thousands. I mean, and it's kind of like if we lived in an alternate universe or reality where everybody thought that whiskey was just Fireball.
Yep.
And you had all these other brands trying to say, hey, we're here.
We're here too. Yeah.
We got a drink from the grog log.
Yep.
It's sitting in front of us. We're going to drink it. But then I'm going to have the rum champion do what he does best. We're going to taste some rums. I don't ever sip rums.
Oh, man.
I'm going to try it. Let's drink. Let's drink. Yeah, we have a lot of questions.
Let's drink.
So Derby Daiquiri.
We're going to drink a Derby Daiquiri. It's a hot day in Los Angeles.
It's a frozen guy, and it's in a Collins glass.
Yeah.
A tall guy glass.
Tall guy.
I was going to say big guy, but tall guy.
I thought he was going to finally tell us the real name of a glass.
So, I mean, there's, but you know what's funny is that I'm not even up to snuff on, like, what's is a Collins glass and a highball glass, are they the same thing? Are they different? I don't know.
Oh,
and then you
God.
Have coupe glasses, you have martini glasses, but then you have like champagne cocktail glasses,
they're
which I think are coupe glasses.
Different.
Yeah.
It's so fucking refreshing to know that a guy who calls himself the rum champion has the same struggles that I do.
Do you have a cheers, you say?
You have to, as the rum champion.
I mean, yes, actually I do. So with my Rum Curious Club, at the end of it, we have a toast.
Okay.
And the toast is to the rum.
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 Hey, there we go. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Tastes like a popsicle in like the best way.
Yeah, it tastes like a frozen lemonade popsicle.
Yeah.
I was going to say the most prominent taste of this, to me, is ice.
Yeah. Like, I know that a lot of people think that daiquiris are these kind of slushy consistencies. The original daiquiri is just 2 ounces of whatever rum. Originally, it was like white Cuban rum, an ounce of lime juice, and then 3/4 ounce simple syrup.
Where was he on our fucking... We had an episode that was just daiquiri day.
Yeah.
And we're like, it would have been good for us to look up what makes a daiquiri.
Because we talked about it in it, and we sure didn't look it up.
Let me tell you what's in this Derby daiquiri.
Derby Dax.
Orange juice, lime juice, simple syrup, and Puerto Rican rum. It's from the Maikai. Okay.
The original drink by Mariano, head bartender at the Maikai restaurant, who won a 1959 rum cocktail competition with this drink.
Oh my God. They were just drinking straight up ice in 1960s, 50s and 60s. They were like, ooh, ice.
Ooh. It's lovely.
Flavored ice.
The way that I like to think about it is, you know, because this whole concept of just getting ice from your refrigerator, having it widely available, really only came about in, I want to say, probably like post-World War II.
I was
really
going
to
say, probably 50s.
You had to get like a giant block of ice.
And
like, yeah.
That's like the original like martini where you'd put it in the bag.
Yep.
And like then you crush Lewis it bag up. Yep.
But you know what's funny now is that we're kind of going back to getting giant blocks of ice for people to chip at because some people get really nerdy on ice, which
trendy.
I love it.
Hold on. I want to take a step back. Who are you? Who are you? What was your life?
Uh-huh.
At what point did you decide that rum was going to be the thing? And how did you make rum the thing? And like, what is your life before? What pre-rum,
sure.
post-rum? Let's just start there.
In, I don't know, 2013, 2014, something like that. Was dating a girl at the time. Didn't work out. But her sister worked for Disney. And I loved going to Disneyland. I'd had a Disneyland pass for years and years.
Yes.
I can remember when the Disneyland pass, the one with no blackout dates and parking, was you put $80 down and it was $20 a month.
The year I first moved here, which is probably in line with your timeline, it was $489 for the entire year.
Yeah. And it was a steal. But, you know, I'd always enjoyed the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this place is great. You know, at the time I would take like weed mushrooms in, and I would just go do that, and everybody would be super stoned, and people had never done the Tiki Room.
Wait a minute, weed mushroom?
Sorry, weed brownies.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what's that?
Like, holy shit.
But anyways, like, always on the Tiki Room. Jungle Cruise, obviously a good time. Anyways, the girlfriend I was dating at the time, her sister worked for Disney, and said, hey, like, after my shift, I want to go to Trader Sam's for a drink.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever. They didn't even know the concept of a Tiki Bar. I just thought the Tiki Room was, like, something that
That's
Disney
it.
Invented,
yeah.
and was like, oh, wow, this is great. Not realizing that the Tiki Room got its inspiration from the Tiki movement and the Tiki
right.
bars. So anyways, I go into Trader Sam's, first Tiki bar I ever went to, and it's like, holy shit.
This is amazing.
Like blown away by the ambiance, the atmosphere, the Hawaiian music. You know, I go in and like somebody ordered a Krakatoa. So I look at the wall, the LED screen and the volcano's erupting. And I'm going, holy shit. So I was hooked from then. Then tried all these different drinks and realized, oh, wow, these are rum. Okay. Because I'd only known like, oh, it's rum and Coke or...
Yep.
Maybe like coladas or rum barrel. No, somebody said rum barrel, but not, you know, that was at the time. And then always started going to tiki bars. So Trader Sam's, Tonga Hut,
sure.
Lono. Fast forward, COVID, not much to do. So I really got into tiki again.
Sure.
I decided, hey, when this lockdown ends, I want to throw a tiki party. I didn't know how to make the drinks that I'd been enjoying. Like, what's in a Navy Grog? What's in a Mai Tai? What's in the 1934 Zombie? So I found this channel called Distinguished Spirits on YouTube. He'd break down like the history of these tiki drinks, but more importantly, he'd tell me what rums that I needed. And then he also referenced this book called Smuggler's Cove, picked up a copy of Smuggler's Cove. I had no rums and I went from like 0 to 15 through the tiki party and then just fell in love with the whole concept of it. But then I started looking at the recipes from Total Tiki app that I had, from the Grog Log, from Smuggler's Cove, and saying, well, what's the difference between a dark Jamaican rum versus like a Demerara rum? Or what's a Vieux Agricole, Rum Agricole from Martinique? So then, like of all the rums that I had, I started tasting these and then realized, oh, wow, this one's really different.
And then the more
that I tried, the more I wanted to get more bottles. So that's part of the reason why I have 540 fucking bottles in my house. I mean, it's an obsession is really what it is. So then I started throwing like these monthly rum parties in my apartment, which I have to start doing again. You guys are invited. You guys just have
We'd
to come over
to
and drink
come.
My
yeah,
rum.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd love make, to come it, drink
it would,
your
It would always be like
Dave needs to come
forward.
Drink the Jewish rum.
Yeah, you oh, need man. To come drink yeah. the Jewish
this
rum.
This one's for you. why?
Yeah, no, here you, yeah, just this one.
Just this one. Or you can taste all these.
Mogan David.
No, so you know what it's called? It's called Jewish Pirate Gold Rum. I got to show you the label.
Jewish Pirate Gold Rum.
There
I don't
was
know
actually
to
like
be
a,
offended.
I don't know either.
But there was actually like a historical
it's
period.
Got a golem
time.
On the front.
Oh my God! I'll show you the.
Just somebody from like. From, I imagine it's like what's the fucking bank in Harry Potter?
Gringotts.
Last please.
Yeah, yeah, just somebody
hey,
from
please.
Gringotts in like a pirate costume.
That checks out.
Where is the photo? Oh, here you go.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if it wasn't by Jews, it'd be anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
it'd be problematic.
It's a lovely golden color, though.
Oh, it is. And there isn't any, like, any sugars or colors or flavorings added, but I think it's, they're actually giving a nod, at least from what I assume. I haven't spoken to the distillery, but for, like, a period of time, there were a lot of Jewish pirates that actually were with the Ottoman Empire after the Spanish said, hey,
oh, cool.
fuck you, Jews, get the fuck out of Spain. And then Spain went into a massive decline because all the smart people left. And then the Ottoman said, welcome. Yeah. So then you had a bunch of the Barbosa brothers in particular. Anyways, I know way too much about a lot of random shit. So back on track, through these monthly rum parties, I would just make these cocktails, tiki classics, and then just some like spinoffs just for funsies. I'd invite my friends over. Yeah. But then like my whole thing is when I host a party, I love being behind the bar.
So I'm sure.
Like, oh, the great thing that I know about rum is this, that, and the other thing. And like blah, blah, blah. These are my facts, blah, blah, blah. So then I started posting things on Instagram. It started gaining some traction. September of 2022, I launched the Rum Curious Club, my in-person events company that's getting people together to drink this.
Right.
In January of 23, I had 12 people come to my house, and it was really weird because I didn't have any basis other than some like videos, and like I posted a flyer, and it was really kind of like creepy. Instead of like, hey, you want to get in my van and have candy? I was, hey, you want to come to my apartment and come
free
drink
candy,
rum?
Free rum.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Free rum. And then it kind of grew from there, and I mean, it's just been a really insane ride.
That's awesome.
And the more rums that I've tried, the more I become more and more convinced that it is the world's most diverse spirit. And now rum's my full-time job, especially as of August of last year. And when people ask, oh, what do you do? What I've realized and I say now is I drink rum and I hang out. Like, yes. That's what I do for a living. And it's silly.
But that's
it's
awesome.
It's not
for
silly,
you, man.
I mean, it's silly in the fact that it's a hilarious.
God, now
wait, so, we have to rate this drink.
Okay. Rate the drink.
On a scale of what? One to five?
Five being the best thing you ever had, one being not for you.
For me, I mean, it's just.
It doesn't taste like.
It's there.
It doesn't taste like anything.
But like,
it's fine.
I would drink it again.
Yeah.
So
it's good
like,
on a hot day.
I mean.
Can we give like decimals too, or does it have to be solid?
Yeah.
I would just say like 3.5. Like it's a solid.
I was gonna say 3.25.
Yeah, I was gonna be in that like same sort of vicinity. Yeah, this is a straight 3.5 for me.
It's fine. It just doesn't. There's nothing remarkable about it.
You know what?
It's a one note on like, hey, if it's a hot day.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys know like everybody calls them something else. Bomb pops, like the popsicle.
Bomb pops.
Astro pop.
Or like
bomb,
the red, white, and blue one.
No, like the red, white, and blue.
It
this
also
is
tastes
the
like
this
the,
is the white of yeah, the of
100%.
The of the
or like the 100%. Frozen Minute Maid lemonade. It also gives me vibes of that.
So for anybody that wants to go through the grog lug listening, this is a safe drink
for anyone. This is easy.
You're not gonna
easy
die.
Drinker.
Bring this one. Liz did us right. We said we wanted something like not gnarly.
Looking back, I would have said that we should have been all in pain, suffering together. But
well,
next time.
Next time.
I think
next
you're
time.
Gonna find that with if we start just sipping rum.
Yeah.
No. For me, well, depending, because I could get some weird shit. Anyways,
talk to me like I'm a fucking idiot.
Okay, mansplaining activated.
Yeah. In the simplest 1 to 2 sentences. What is rum?
Okay. Rum is an alcoholic spirit that is a byproduct of the sugarcane plant.
Okay.
Perfect.
Easy peasy.
So, and without getting too complicated, I'll do a quick offshoot because I don't have like a sentence. It has a lot of different names. Okay. So like this whole concept of distilling sugarcane has been around for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. There has been some evidence to indicate that like the Moors in the Middle East were doing distillation, or like folks in India were distilling sugarcane juice. So it can be called rum with an H that indicates, you know, previous
this
French
was on
colonization.
My list of what the fuck is that H doing in that?
Yeah, just the way that the French word for rum, because the French have to do everything different. Then there's rum agricole, and that's one of two types of rum that has a denomination of origin or a DO, like a bourbon, if you will. So there's rum agricole. There's Clarin, which is something that is in Haiti. It's like a Haitian moonshine, if you will. Okay. Then there's Arak, which is different than Arak, which is like a licorice-y liqueur.
Ooh,
then there's Aguardiente,
like
Cachaça. So it has, like, it's like in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
A girl has no name, but like a rum has many names.
This is going to be a joke for my Jews. You know what they call it in Israel? Chum. That's just for the Jews.
It's good.
Just for them.
I think that like a goyim like myself will, it's amusing.
Yeah, but like, hum.
Hum.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
No, you're solid.
Ah, baby.
Okay.
So that's what rum, how rum.
Like how it's produced?
Sure.
Okay.
He doesn't even know what he's asking.
We talked about how it has many different names. It's distilled in over 80 countries, but at the basis, sugarcane itself is a grass.
Right.
Which I did not realize until tasting some rum agricole from Martinique. Like, why does this smell like grass?
It tastes very grassy,
Especially like the sugarcane juice stuff, because it pulls out a lot of that like earthiness. And so how it's produced at the basis is you're taking whatever that byproduct is. It can be molasses, it can be sugarcane juice, it can be that, again, the syrup where they condense down the juice and like almost make a reduction, if you will. You can sometimes mix molasses and sugarcane juice together. Whatever your base is, that's the, typically those, and then it goes through a fermentation process. Some places it's 24 hours, some places it's like weeks. All the characters of all of that depend on where it's distilled. Is it at elevation? Is it at sea level? And all of that, so many different factors. And then distillation, you have pot stills. I don't know why I'm doing this. Well, with pot stills,
that's
you have
a pot.
Typically really big, yeah. Yeah, what's in the pot? Okay, sorry,
What's in the pot?
What's in the pot? But yeah, pot stills that typically have a lot more character to them, so they're a little bit more punchy. So anything like Jamaican funk is pot still.
Sure.
Jamaican funk, that's my favorite band.
That should be a drink.
And then it's either unaged, and that's clear rum, but not all white rum is unaged, by the way.
Okay.
Sometimes it goes through charcoal filtering, so you can have a three-year-old rum, but it looks clear because they've taken all the color out.
Right.
I love asking when people come to any of my like events or seminars or whatever, does anybody want to know why brown liquor is brown? And people kind of look confused. Do you guys know?
It's not filtered.
I don't know.
Yes, it's not filtered, but the barrel is what's
barrel
giving it its
aged
color.
Barrel yeah. aged soaking into it,
like,
the liquor.
All alcohol comes out clear from the still.
Sure.
I don't know why I'm doing this, but it comes out clear.
Yeah. He's and like goes, stroking an udder.
Yeah.
gently.
You're good.
Gently
You're
pulling
good.
Down.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, just that's the best way to get the milk out, you know. Anyways. But so that's really the production process. And then it either, if it's unaged, it goes into a bottle. And then sometimes it's proofed down. So okay. I'm keeping this all way high level.
Yeah.
This is good.
He's but like, that's what rum, that's how rum. And then why rum?
Because
it's the world's most goddamn diverse spirit and no one gives it its damn respect.
It is weird.
Like everybody had Captain Morgan in college, right? Captain and Coke or Sailor Jerry or whatever.
Course.
But that's really what it was. And then a lot of people just have this preconceived notion now that rum is a spiced rum. It's supposed to be sweet. It's only belonging in your pina coladas or,
it
goes in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing for a long time. The parallel in the agave world was, I don't like tequila because I don't like Cuervo, which nothing against Cuervo or Captain or anything like that.
Right.
But people would dismiss the category.
Because of that one particular one.
Particular thing. Yeah. And so that's why I think just a lot of people...
They don't understand the levels of different rums.
Exactly.
And if you're not like I don't know, how does anybody drink spirits? Let's leave it at that. How does anybody drink spirits? And we all have empty cups. So should we get into how are we going to try spirits?
I think
whatever
the best thing to
do
is neat by itself.
Okay.
The beauty is there's no right or wrong way. Because our taste buds are subjective. Your preferences are subjective. The whole thing.
Why don't you pick three or four?
Yeah,
I mean, I'll have a tiny little sip.
Well,
you guys
that's
want
what
to
I'm
have
saying.
That?
That's what I'm saying. Three or four.
Well,
just
tiny
like,
little sips.
Yeah, and we'll all share.
Okay. So.
And you pick them up.
Yeah.
If you want.
Of course.
Rum Champion chooses.
Okay. And we're going to do.
Rum Champion Choice.
Rum Champion Choice.
Rum Champ Choice.
Rum
Champ Choice.
It's their classic RCC.
RCC.
And then we're going to come back with lots of little tasties. And we'll talk about how to sip rum, and then a word from our sponsors.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, I just witnessed, a kid in the candy store. I saw a rum champion in the rum store.
I know, he was like,
just wait till you come to my place.
I know,
because usually people end up on the floor because I get so excited. I'm like, oh my god, this is from the Netherlands.
You gotta try this.
This is pepper-infused rum from Cambodia. It'll blow your
interesting
fucking
to me.
Mind.
Hey, here's a question before we get into this.
Here's an answer.
Is there like a, like Pappy? Like Pappy is like the long sought after, like really expensive, we auction it off type of bottle of rum, of whiskey. Is there that of rum?
Bourbon.
Is there that of whatever Pappy is?
An elusive bottle.
I would say yes. Oftentimes, so basically it's a defunct distillery that no longer exists from Trinidad.
Oh.
They're called Caroni, Caroni.
Hmm.
You can find bottles on the secondary market for $1,100.
Have you tried it?
It's about Pappy.
Yes.
Pappy's like $1,200 or $1,500.
There's a lot of Caroni rum that I have tried. It's not something I would recommend for people that are just starting because it's like earthy and dirty and bold. It's all like 50 plus 55 plus percent. I have a bottle that was an exclusive release for the Taiwanese market that I got my hands on.
All right.
You guys can try some when you come over, but that would be one.
What about the rum that was the original Mai Tai? Like, are there any
of the Ray & Nephew 17? Yeah, if you have $50,000.
Oh, just a pretty penny.
That's the white whale of rum.
That would be, and I mean, it is interesting that it's popular because it's in the Mai Tai, right?
So here's what we're looking at. We're looking at little cutie
we're having, solo cups.
We're having what I like to say is we're having sippy poos.
Yeah, right now. Cutie solo cups of shots of rum.
They're so tiny and cute.
I don't know if I've been as scared to drink something off like the grog log as I am a little bit.
I went mild. The third one, because it's higher proof, is going to, but we'll be fine.
Okay.
Neither
I didn't pick anything funky or
much
weird.
Sippers
I promise.
Of straight alcohol.
Yeah, we don't know how to sip.
How do we
sip?
So the first thing that you're going to do is, we'll talk about the nosing, but nosing, you want to have your mouth open. You don't want to get your nose in it like with wine. Typically what you'll do, you can take a tiny little sip and let the flavor and the alcohol hit your tongue to kind of treat your tongue, if you will.
Yeah.
But then the second sip, what I like to do is take a bigger mouthful and then swirl it around, kind of like,
got it.
It's like what we call the Tiki 2 sip.
100%. So when you
that's smart.
When you swirl it around, you'll actually unlock saliva in your mouth.
Sure.
So that you'll do two things. One, you'll get a little bit of a burn in your mouth, but the more you drink, the more the burn goes away. But when you swallow, it doesn't hit you in the throat or the chest. So you're diluting it, but you're also getting some flavor. And if you're not getting flavor, don't worry. So what we're starting with, this is Chairman's Reserve Original. This is 40%. Chairman's Reserve is one of the most underrated rum brands. This is one of my favorite brands.
Okay.
We're gonna champion this. Okay.
So it smells pretty light on the nose.
Yeah.
So this is a column pot still combo. A little bit to treat your tongue.
Described. I'm going to do a little hit, and then I'm going to swirl it.
Okay. I'm going to take my first little sippy sip.
Yep. And then just kind of let it ripple through your tongue. And then when you're ready, we'll do.
Okay. That was my starter sip.
Yep.
Now I'm going to take the sip and
swirl. And swirl. But
I'm gonna chew
almost
it.
Like,
chew
yeah,
it. Yeah,
chew
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chew.
So, cheers, guys.
No, wait a minute. So something that we say here, that it's just a dumb thing that I made up. The drinks
Brace
awake.
Yourself.
The drinks awake, so I'm awake.
The drinks awake, so I'm awake.
Yep. Yeah,
I love cheers. It.
Actually, that's not bad,
right?
I do feel when I say that there are slight fumes coming from my mouth.
No, but it tastes remarkably different.
But it does taste different.
Sip.
Yeah, because you want to always treat, right? And so for me, if you think this is hot, I can't wait to guys have you over, because there's certain things that are 68% that I like to drink by itself.
So
do you put ice in them, or you just drink them straight?
Just drink them straight.
Okay.
But we're not there, and I wouldn't start you guys there.
We're learning.
So
yeah, and you don't need to get to that place either. Stop wherever you want.
What are the typical notes that we should be tasting?
So
on something?
That's a really good question, and it's there's no right or wrong, because all of our taste buds are subjective. I mean, it really my question then to you guys is, what are you guys tasting?
I definitely taste a little licorice vibe in that one.
I get a little bit of leather on this.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's a little caramel.
Yep.
I'm desperately trying to taste a taste other than
booze.
Than alcohol.
Yeah,
I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it.
No,
I'm
you know what else you could do is you could drop a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Because you can dilute it there as well. But this, in an old fashioned, so good.
I was going to say, that's how I started getting into rums, was because a few years ago, I almost died at Club 33.
Yeah.
We're going to have to unpack that later.
Yeah, we will.
But that's not something you just casually throw out.
A friend of a friend.
She was stabbed.
Yeah. A friend of
Mickey
a friend.
Mickey stabbed her.
Yeah. Yeah. Mickey, fucking... He shanked me.
Nothing can stop us now.
And at the time, we thought I had a sudden allergic reaction to whiskey.
Oh, okay.
Because my go-to fancy drink for 10 years or whatever has been an old-fashioned. And I had multiple that day. And then all of a sudden, it was just real bad.
Oh, wow.
So the only thing we could figure out was I just had a weird reaction to the whiskey. It was a year and a half of not drinking whiskey, me going through all these allergy test things, etc. So I started drinking rum and getting into making a rum old fashioned. That's how I kind of explore different levels and the different tastes.
Sure.
I mean, very elementary version of that. But I had never realize how many different tastes there can be. But turns out I'm not allergic to whiskey. It's asparagus.
Oh.
Nearly killed me.
Well, hey, your pee won't smell, nope. So you're great. And you won't die, more nope. importantly, so...
I don't ever just drink straight up whiskey or bourbon or something like that, but it does to me taste like reminiscent of one of those.
Yeah.
With like maybe a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
It maybe it's slightly sweeter,
but I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Now to me, I'm like, why are y'all going to hate on this? Like, why?
Because most people haven't tried it.
Yeah.
You know? But like, why aren't you going to try this? Like, this could be a substitute. For any of those drinks.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you can find this bottle for like $22, $23-ish.
Oh, that's great.
This is going back to what rum?
What rum?
This is sugarcane.
This is molasses.
Molasses.
So the three that I picked for you guys, we're going to start with molasses. 95% of the rum production in the world is molasses.
Okay. Molasses. Okay.
Yep. I like that. Molasses.
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 You have to say it like a southern.
It's,
molasses.
Yeah, it's molasses.
I like the head tilt. Molasses.
Molasses.
A little condescending.
Yeah, molasses. And then you need to throw in a bless your heart after that.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Damn. Well, I mean, that wasn't.
No. So, and the nice thing about this is a super approachable place to start. It gives people that like whiskey a taste of the familiar.
Yeah.
It's not overpowering. It's not sweet. So the three rums that I picked also have no sugars, colors, flavorings added whatsoever either. There's some people like, well, if it has sugar, it's awful. I'm like, bro, there's rum distilleries that have been around for 300 years that have been adding sugar. So you're going to all of a sudden tell them after 300 years how they do things are wrong. Like,
yeah.
But that's like saying, what was it? Like the other family, I don't watch Family Guy anymore, but I don't know why it's like, oh, I had like 2 cheeseburgers and 2 quesadillas, but I had a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So
it's like, what's the point, man?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the time that I put sugar in my rum.
But yeah. I'm in my rum. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Peter.
Yeah.
Peter. Oh, that's, yeah.
Brian, the dog, would be very, very snobby about putting
the rums. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, so, I'm sorry. This is an additive-free rum.
All right, what's number two here?
Number two. So this is from Jamaica. So this is from the Worthy Park Estate in Jamaica. And just take a smell first, because there's a little bit more on the nose here.
It has a different, like, pungentness.
This is also 40%. So
it has a different pungentness
Jamaican,
to it.
Jamaican rums, and you guys always have to try Jamaican. This is 100% pot still, so this is going to have more flavor. It's still only 40%, so okay. I'm not taking you anywhere. The door number three, we have a higher proof, but this one is going to have
door
a
number
more flavor.
Three.
But it's definitely a lot more on the nose. Swirl. Dave, you look like you're dying.
Interesting. I might be.
I taste vanilla.
Vanilla. I get a lot of banana.
And
vanilla,
banana.
Banana.
Yeah.
Oh, banana. Totally.
Oh my God, I've lost my ability to speak.
I'm gonna
caramelized banana.
Yeah,
it kind of tastes. Yeah.
Like a banana's Foster's.
Yeah. Super banana-y.
Yeah.
Yep.
Banana daiquiri, but if you have like a shaken daiquiri with like some banana liqueur, it's so good.
Yeah, that's. I actually think I like that one better than the first.
So Jamaican rums, they're doing. And the layman, are you dying?
To quote Wayne's World, we're not worthy. we're not worthy.
We're not worthy. No, this is really interesting. It's awesome.
Longer fermentation, 100% pot still. So anytime you hear long fermentation or 100% pot still, they tend to be a little bit more punchy.
Okay.
There's also like a rotten fruit to this. I know it kind of sounds weird.
When you smell
like
pineapple. I said it smells like pungent in a different
it's
way.
It's very pungent.
This might be dumb and like we answered that 20 minutes ago. Like what exactly is causing the different tastes?
Yeah. About how it's produced. So with the first one, with door number one, Chairman's Reserve, they take column stilled rums, which are a lot of more smoother, like Bacardi, for example, is a column still. So you think smoother, you know, kind of more approachable. So German Reserve takes a column stilled rum that's very light in character, and then take a pot still, kind of like this, similar but different. And then they distill those, put them in barrels, let them age, then they bring those barrels together and separately blend them together. So you're getting the column still makes it a little bit more approachable. Since this is a pot still, Worthy Park is also doing longer fermentation because it's a whole style of Jamaican rum to have longer fermentations, 100% pot stills, but not always. I'm broad brushing for the sake of keeping it high level. But
he's wearing a Worthy Park hat.
Yeah. I know.
I just fucking saw that.
Yeah.
Did I miss that? Did we already talk about that?
No, but I just noticed it.
Like, wait a minute, I'm listening to you. I'm on. I'm like, holy crap. He just went like, he looked down slightly. And I looked up.
There it is.
Damn. So on brand. Yeah. Rum Champion.
Fucking knocking it out of the park. I try.
This is incredible.
Anyways, I know we picked three. It was hard to pick three, but, you know, there we go.
Good.
He definitely put thought into curating
this. No, it's just great.
What would you drink this one with?
Like a rum punch, for example.
Okay.
So there's a really good rum punch recipe in Potions of the Caribbean. From the Planter's Punch Inn, there's a recipe from 1957 in that book that would be 2 ounces of this, 1.5 ounces of black tea, and cocktails are so good,
an ounce of lime juice,
and then 1/2 ounce of granulated sugar. So you take the granulated sugar, put the lime juice on that, let it dissolve, throw your black tea in, then your Jamaican rum, put it in a big boy glass. No, not a big boy glass, a tall, skinny guy. I'm still going to say big boy, though. Yeah. Tall, skinny guy glass, and then you take one of those wooden swizzle sticks and actually swizzle it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I really like that in this. Banana daiquiri, I've done events with Worthy Park where that's an
I could see that. That would be really awesome.
Yeah,
100%. I do a drink at my house.
This would be perfect in that.
There's somebody at Harvard and Stone that had a drink called This Shit Is Bananas. And it was like a bunch of rum and like banana liqueur and then Kohana Coco Leca.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
on top, floated on top. And it's fucking great. This would be amazing in that, I actually 100%. Think.
I like the second one better. I like the funkiness.
You're wincing every time you smell and take a sip.
I don't know. Like, here's the thing. I like the taste. I like that it has flavors.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It has more of a flavor palette to me than
like
the first
one. Like, it's got
like
more like... Yeah, I'm tasting more than just alcohol.
Yeah, I can appreciate more.
I don't know if
like,
that's because it's the second one. I don't know. It could be.
Sure.
Like maybe if I had this one first, the second one would be better. But this one has more going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate with the first one what you were saying about this would make like a great rum old fashioned. But this one I could foresee myself drinking more often.
Yeah, because this is going to be more traditional for like tiki, right? Yeah.
How often do you just sit and like hang out and drink rum? Just like straight, do you just drink straight rum? A lot.
A lot. Yeah, I keep track of every rum I've tasted. I make tasting notes of every rum I've tasted. So far I'm at 1,077 rums that I've tasted from 74 countries.
Do you rank them?
God, no. I do have a Rum Champion's Guide to Rum that's in a shitty Google Sheet right now because I'm not smart enough to throw it in like a software interactive website.
Oh,
but I do have like my favorite rums.
I mean, I got to know Rum like Champion's saying, like, number one rum.
I have to only pick one?
Like a top five, maybe.
So I would say if I only could pick one rum, it would be Worthy Park Single Estate Reserve.
Okay.
That is a rum that I can have at all times. I mean, I'll go through phases when I want to have really punchy, intense, dirty, earthy rums from Trinidad or St. Lucia. And then other times I want to have lighter, column-stilled stuff from like Belize.
Sure.
I'm vamping before we drink the other drink.
No, let's hear about this last one.
Okay, the third and final rum. Tell us how it came to be. You developed it. Or you helped it. You helped birth this rum.
Yes, I did birth this rum. So if people are producing barrels of rum, whiskey, whatever, some producers, distillers or whatever will allow you to purchase a barrel. So this rum is from the Privateer Distillery in Ipswich, Massachusetts. It's about an hour north of Boston.
Okay.
This came about because I'm very close with the founder of the Florida Rum Society. It's the largest rum club in the United States. I'm very close with Jay, the founder of Privateer. His ancestor was actually one of the first privateers, legal pirates for the Continental Navy during the American Revolution, and then started producing rum after that. Jay had reached out to me saying, hey, I have a couple of barrel samples, and my Rum Curious Club wanted to do a pick. So I said, sure, send these samples over. 2 samples were presented. I tasted them here with Liz and Kat. We tasted them. Tonga Hut really liked one of the barrels.
Yeah.
I liked both, and then I also liked the second one. So that the second one became what we called Maiden Voyage, which was the first rum pick of the Rum Curious Club. And then Tonga Hut's 65th anniversary also came in to be as a collaboration and a pick between the Florida Rum Society, the Rum Champion, and Tonga Hut.
That's so cool.
And this is Tonga That's Hut's awesome. First ever barrel pick in their 65-year history.
That's really
That's
cool.
Fucking cool.
So I do feel humbled to be part of
That's
this historic
so awesome.
Pick.
Look at you. From just going to Disneyland and enjoying Trader Sam's and appreciating rum to how many years later?
That's what I say. It's just silly.
How do we turn this into our lives, Corey?
I don't know. This is my life.
But
it smells like, very butterscotchy.
Oh, yeah.
To me.
All we got to say is just like anybody, like, without being too cheesy, follow your dreams, everybody. But like, do what you're into. Do what you like to do.
Yeah. Do what makes you happy. Put good things out into the world and like.
Very butterscotchy.
Good things.
This
will
is
come
also
to you.
This is also 57%. So we're skyrocketing
up. So this is the strongest one.
Yes.
I can tell.
Swirl extra swirls.
Okay, but hang on. Before I even try this one, it smells the best to me.
It smells like butterscotch.
It's butterscotch.
Caramel.
Oh, this smells like this smells like candy in grandpa's pocket.
Gross. Where it's been like heated and kind of melting.
Oh my god.
Like some Werther's in a jar that have been there for a while. You know what I mean? But in like a good way.
Totally.
He's like, what have I got myself into?
No. I just love that description. The more like specific you can get, because you're tying it to a specific memory, which is really cool.
The burn is the most severe.
Yeah, but extra like swirl, like really, like count to like five.
It's very good.
I love this. I really do. The cool thing about Privateer is this is, most rum is like ex-bourbon.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of rum is ex-bourbon. If it's French, then it's Limousine casks versus American oak.
Sure.
But Privateer, this is a new American oak. So this has a little bit more whiskey note.
It
than,
definitely has
than rum
more
note.
Whiskey
I mean,
note.
It has a rum profile, but in like a whiskey manner. All right, what are you thinking? Where are you at? Okay. I love how expressive you are. This is fantastic.
I'm breathing fire right now, but
it's good.
It is 1,000 times more complex than anything that we have already tasted.
So you bring up a good point.
I'm tasting so much right now.
Yeah.
Like my palate is
overwhelmed.
Like there are pins and needles on my tongue.
Yep.
Like there's spices. I'm tasting like caramel. I'm tasting a lot right now. It is
like rich baking spices.
It is
100%.
It's coating my tongue.
Yeah. It coats your mouth in a different way than the other ones.
It coats your mouth
did.
In a different way. Like the first one.
Chairman's Reserve.
I'm like, you're good.
Yeah.
You're not great.
This is unique, in my opinion. The other ones were very good, but this tastes more unique to me.
Gang.
Yeah.
If you're somebody that just likes to, like, put, like, some stones in a glass of whiskey or in a glass of scotch,
for you.
This is fucking, you would fucking have a delightful time with this shit.
Yep. And this, since it's a barrel pick, there were only 200, I think less than 200 bottles that were available for purchase. So, and they're all gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm
the
saying.
The only place you can taste it now is here at Tonga. I think they have bottles available for tasting.
Awesome. Like,
thank you so much for choosing these and sharing with us.
This is something that we always see on the specials chart. Yeah. And we always say, should we try Tonga?
We've said it every time. And we just never have.
Would it be blasphemous to put anything with this? Like, I mean, we're not putting this in a cocktail, or we are?
Absolutely not. For people who are like, oh my God, you can't mix that. I have a $1,200 bottle of Florida Caña. The brand was nice enough to get that to me. And guess what I did? I made a rum and coke with it. Like, I don't care. Like, I have a bottle of Black Tot Last Consignment, also a $1,200 bottle. And that's rum from the 1970s.
Yeah.
And I'll probably make a cocktail with it. Because, like, it's my booze. Don't tell me how I can drink it. Like, so if you want to drink this
fucking
straight,
love that.
Cool. If you want to have, like, it on, like, the whiskey rocks, great.
Go
do
for
it.
It.
Like, go for it, man. It's your journey.
Are you drinking this straight? How are you drinking this one?
I like it straight, but also, if you make a Manhattan with this.
That'd be really good.
Baby.
Like this. Because you have, and I like to use the Luxardo cherry juice instead of simple syrup.
Something we do on here, we call it my five. It's just five questions that we ask every guest that comes on.
Let's rock and roll.
Sometimes we yell at them and argue about them, but we're going to be okay. We're going to be civil
we'll
today.
Be good.
Or don't be.
What's your favorite theme park?
Disneyland.
Okay.
That's me.
That's fair.
Disney World is amazing too. Like, but Disneyland, I've gone to, it's so different.
Have you ever been drunk at a theme park?
Have I ever been drunk at a theme park?
Or if you have like a most embarrassing drunk story you would like to share.
Not drunk, I would say that I was definitely inebriated in other capacities.
That seems to be a running theme.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I have done that. I've weed brownies and I did mushrooms a long time ago. That is long behind me for anybody listening. My whole thing is just eat them before you go in. Like, just, you know.
Everybody's like,
yeah.
I'm a good boy. Good boy. I don't like to get in trouble in parks, but yes, I've done shrooms.
I've done stuff.
Yeah. I was like peeking right before, like when it was still Tower of Terror. I was like, haha. And like, and then I hit the peak and I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. If I was on shrooms and Rocket told me, my hands don't scan,
you'd be
think I'd be looking at my hands
and
for
be
about
like, what?
An hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What are hands? Yeah. Why don't they skin? Why don't they skin? They look like hot dogs.
Why hands?
Why hands?
We don't. I don't compute.
Okay. Okay. What's your go-to drink order?
Probably a daiquiri. I know it's basic, bitch.
We did it.
I love daiquiri.
We did it today.
That's amazing.
We did it today.
My go-to tiki drink. This is just a bonus answer.
Yeah.
Navy grog.
Oh,
Navy grog's my favorite.
Corey, 100%.
Okay. Okay. I feel like we might know the answer to this.
Well. We should say besides rum, what do you geek out about?
Let's see. I really like, I'm a big sports fan. So that's something that I'm basically a Denver sports fan minus baseball. So I got the Broncos, much to my dismay.
Okay.
The Nuggets, hooray. Avalanche, hooray. And then because my mom's a Dodgers fan, Dodgers.
Gang, I love this third rum.
The best one.
I love
it. Oh, yeah. Privateer.
Kudos to that one. Fine.
It's great.
Okay, last
question. This is maybe the most complex.
Okay. If you had to go to any restaurant,
fast food, sit down, whatever,
any restaurant, and order one of everything on the menu, food and drink, what restaurant you go into? What are you eating?
Oh shit!
Yes,
I don't really go out that much. No, actually, you know what? I got you. I would say Arnaud's in New Orleans in the French Quarter.
Okay.
Ooh.
If you've never been to Arnaud's, it's amazing. They have these little things called souffled potatoes.
Yeah.
And they have this whole history about why. So basically, like really fancy French fries, but they're not cut like French fries.
Yeah.
They're like potato squares, but they're double cooked. And the reason why they're double cooked is because the King of France was supposed to sit down to his meal and duties of the state, or, you know, he's with the chambermaid or his wife or doing whatever. He missed dinner. And so he came later. And so they had to recook the potatoes. But then there was like a little air pocket that popped up.
Ooh, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so like legitimately those souffled potatoes with the sauce, they have some amazing Bananas Fosters there. I was almost going to say the best, but Brennan's in New Orleans has the best Bananas Fosters.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, like New Orleans, Arnaud's in the French Quarter, it would be, I would go there.
That's awesome. Good chance. Anything
it.
You would like to plug before we finish up here?
Oh, God. Let's see. So April 29th, myself and Shannon Mustafer are doing an event at Lucky Tiki.
Okay.
Nice.
May 1st, Shannon and I are doing another event here at Tonga Hut.
Oh, great.
So there's no tickets needed. It's more of you come show, you can taste some lovely Myrtle Bank rums, and then we'll have some $7 cocktails.
Oh, cool.
That's great. Like these rum happy hours, man. And then at the end of this month, also April 27th, I'm doing a rum curious tasting at Chips Liquor, where we're actually going to be unveiling two more barrel picks. So one is a rum champion chips pick, and then we have our second rum curious club pick.
Awesome.
And then after that, we've got rum curious clubs here in Tonga Hut with rum barbering course. So there's just a lot of shit. So
that's awesome.
You guys can find me at The Rum Champion, at The Rum Curious Club on Instagram. I got a YouTube channel that I'm trying to do shit with now. And my whole life is getting people like you that are listening out to come drink rum.
We did it.
It's
us. We did.
And thank you again for coming on. It was
my pleasure
having you and educating us.
I know. How rum, why rum, and
yummy rum.
And yum rum.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go pay some bills, probably go get some quesadillas.
Yep.
And
there you go.
Call it a night. All right.
There we go.
Love it.
And,
until next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Mahalo.
Bye.
Another episode in the books. We tasted some rums. We now sip some rums.
No, I'm definitely... Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
All right. So we're still at Trader Sam's, but we're going to wrap up the episode. Thank you again to Brian Inman, the rum champion.
Yeah.
You can find him at all of his socials that he mentioned before.
He's just a super nice guy.
And I can't wait to go to his house and drink all of his...
545 rums.
Yeah, all of his rums. Thanks again for tuning in. We've got some giveaways coming up soon. Be sure to watch our socials. If you like tiki mugs or if you like tiki glassware, or if you like t-shirts, hats. It's at My Time the Podcast on Instagram. Our email is mytimethepodcast@gmail.com. You can call us at 559-WE-DRUNK, which is 559-933-7865, and leave a message with drinking tips, grog log advice,
cheers.
Or if you use your recording or your cheers or anything
we'll
on the air, we'll send you a sticker. Be sure to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. And until next week,
Mahalo.
Bye.